Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a too big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket line and picket sign. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to the Almighty God who has woken us up this morning, gave us a new day. Good morning to all my co-hosts, my fellow producer, especially producer of the show, Pastor Eddie Justice Jones. Good morning to all our listeners throughout the nation, throughout the world. You have once again tuned in to the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones blog talk show, where we're hitting the hot button topics. We have special guests coming in this morning. A brother named Ira has written a book and author. You know, every day that we live through this life, we have to challenge our agenda, that part of the agenda that is known and that part of the agenda that is unknown. And each day we have a challenge. But it's in our creation that we overcome those challenges. We work out those challenges. We pray. We believe we have the faith to overcome. We dominate those challenges and get on through and give the praise and thanks to the Almighty Creator who allow us to have that power to get through those challenges each and every day. I want to thank each and every one of you once again for tuning in to the Eddie Justice Jones. We have the most wonderful listeners, you know, people who call in. They give us good commentary on this show, you know. We have, I would say, the little old lady, one of our co-hosts from up in Oregon, Linda Goldie. We have our sports specialist, Cousin V. Words of Wisdom with Talana Jones. We have our health and wellness with Vera Jones. We have our mental health in you with the doctor. We call her doctor, the doctor, Aretha Adam Jones. And in case you're not good with your money, we have the financial specialist with financial literacy from Melanie Aubrey. We want to give a shout out to the prophetess, Prophetess Monica, and to all our other co-hosts in case I miss anyone. I cannot see the board this morning, so I'm going to, and our commentator, don't forget the commentator, Professor Reams. Professor Reams, I got you, brother. I cannot see the board this morning because I'm using my phone. Pastor Eddie should be in and out the studio this morning. So I'm going to ask, are there any co-hosts tuned in this morning who are in the studio? Please acknowledge yourself one at a time and let's get this show on the road. Is there anyone in studio this morning? Well, anyway, we have a special guest calling this morning, Ira Tillman. Ira Tillman, he's an author. I would say a friend of Pastor Eddie. He's written a book about a professional football player of the Kansas City Chiefs. And so we're going to be waiting on him to call in. But other than that, I'm going to create some topics. I have a scripture of the week. I have a word of the week. And our first topic is going to be, are you satisfied with our government? Is our government doing what it's saying? You know, we had elections. We just had an election last week here in California to recall a governor, which didn't pass. So I just want to put that question out here for us to have discussion. Professor Reams, are you in studio? Come in, Professor Reams. Good morning. Try calling in again, Professor Reams. You know, I don't have the control over the mute and the unmute on this from where I'm calling from. So hopefully we'll get Cousin V at 10 o'clock. I would like to hear her or Pastor Eddie call in again and take control of this board, because when I have the command of the board, I'm unable to unmute our callers.
Can you hear me?
Board. Yes, sir. Good morning,
hello,
Professor Ring.
Yes.
Good morning, Professor
yes.
Ring.
Good morning.
How are you
regular.
This morning?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. And everyone, once again, we're having our wonderful Monday at the best blog talk radio show in the morning, where we talk about all the issues and we share our opinions and love, but also show our love for God as we go start our week in the right way in prayer. So I yield back to you, the regulator.
Thank you, Professor Reams. You know, you're just one of the pillars of this show. You're the foundation of this show, Professor Reams, with your knowledge, your expertise, your wisdom, and your commentary. You're like a professional seamstress. You sew this show together. at the end of every show and throughout the show with your knowledge that you share, you clarify all the topics that we cover. And so, you know, I'm going to start off with this first topic. Are you satisfied with the politicians? Last Tuesday we had a election. To recall Governor Gavin Newsom. But before we go there, let's say good morning to Linda Goldie. Linda Goldie, you're in studio. Good morning, Linda Goldie. Linda Goldie, are you in studio? Cousin P, are you in the studio? Cousin V, are you in the studio?
Cousin V may not be on until about 10 o'clock. I see a text here. But,
yes, I just received the message that she is in the queue, but we to open it up. And so I don't have that app or that access if anyone is trying to get into the studio. So for that, I sincerely apologize to all of my co-hosts, to the co-producers, to all our listeners out there. and Cousin V only have it online.
Right.
And so if you can hear me, Linda Goldie, try calling in again, see if we can get you in the studio. And I got your message, Cousin V. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back to our first topic that I created. I couldn't find the notes in Pastor Eddie. I do apologize for that. And so, are you satisfied with our politicians? I was speaking about the vote on the recall where Gavin Newsom wasn't recalled by 60% in California. We know that California is a Democratic state, and regardless of political party, and then sometimes it doesn't matter about the political party. Are you doing the work for the people in your state? You know, so we all held our votes. You know, it's up to you whether you want to make your vote private or not, or personal or not. And so Gavin Newsom is still our governor. And then, you know, we have our president and vice president that the black vote, not just in California, but throughout the nation, in Georgia, in Texas, Pennsylvania, Arizona, turned out, put Biden and Kamala Harris in office. Are you satisfied with the work that they're doing? You know, we have 47 states, which is trying to implement voter suppression. Want to reconstruct the red lining within districts to take away the power of the black and the brown vote. And so, you know, I'm not quite satisfied with everything that's happening in our government. You know, we have I believe that our government is doing everything they possibly can with this coronavirus, this homeless situation. We have so many problems here at home. Our infrastructure, you know, it's so many roadblocks to fix, to get in, and even work on some of the complications that we have here in the United States. You know, we just called all of our soldiers home out of Afghanistan. You know, we had 13 killed there. Is our government doing enough or is our politician, are you satisfied with their work?
Do you want me to answer that, Brother Clarence?
Want me to answer
yes,
that,
sir,
too?
Professor Raines.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Jones.
Well, this isn't Pastor Jones. This is somebody calling out of the Midwest.
Is this Ira Tillman?
No, this is Mr. Pianchi.
Okay.
But I can give you my answers on those.
Yeah, go on. Mr.
And I
want to
ask you a question. Yeah, well, I
welcome
ask
back
you
to
question.
The show. We're going to get right to you in a minute. We're going to allow Professor Ring to give his input. Are you satisfied with our politicians?
Well, most times I'm
very
not satisfied with our politicians, but it is one of the circumstances that this is what we have, and that we often have to, we're working with this experiment called democracy. It's not going to be perfect. It's going to be very messy. There are things that we have to really, really be careful of, and some things that we have to just push the envelope. So it's almost like a walk between heaven and hell. It's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be what we want it to be, but at least we're trying. At least we're working. At least we're trying to come to some understanding as we struggle through what is the direction that we need to go as a country. And so with some, many are very satisfied with what their personal elected official is doing based on a state or so that they're working with. But then when it gets to the bigger picture of trying to govern over 300 million people with all different varying attitudes and ideas of how things should be done, it's almost like herding cats, and that the only thing that we can do is come to a consensus where, you know, you're not going to get everything you want, but you can come to some sort of cooperation to where there is a consensus on what should be done that benefits as much or as many people as you can. So one person may find that a politician is their favorite and it works very well, whereas otherwise other people may not or may not even vote. Plus you also have that level of folks who are just not interested in politics. So will we ever get to a point where it's 100%? Probably not. Is it worth it trying to get to that point and push ourselves to be involved, to be woke, as they call it, and to always question things? Yes. And so this is a point where I tell my students, you never should be satisfied, because there's always something better that could be done, but you need to be in the game and at the table to make your voice heard so that it pushes the pendulum over in what appears to be a good direction for everyone. And so, Brother Clarence, I yield back to you.
Thank you, Professor Reeves. Pastor Eddie Jones, are you in the studio? Good morning, Pastor Eddie. Linda Doty, are you in the studio? Good morning, Linda. Well, we have a caller in the 314 area code, 314-381. Are you in the studio?
Yes, good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing out there? This is Pastor Eddie Jones.
Good morning, Pastor Eddie.
Good morning,
good morning,
Pastor.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning, everybody. First of all, God bless everybody, and I love you all. As you all know, I'm on an assignment right now. I'm so happy that you guys are hosting the show and at the helms of it all, you. And also to shout out to Cousin V and Cousin and shout out to Vera and Talana and everybody on the show, Melanie Aubrey, who will be on today with Financial Literacy. I just want to say God bless you guys, and I thank you so very, very much. And I appreciate everybody out there and all the listeners out there. I appreciate you, too. And it's a wonderful, wonderful Monday morning, and the best is yet to come. I'm going to yield right here, and please take back over Clarence M. Allen and Professor Reams and all the rest of the host, co-producers, and co-hosts. God bless you guys. Peace.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie. It's always wonderful to hear your voice. You are the host of this show. Without you, there would be no Eddie Jones Blog Production Radio Show. Every Monday morning, you're consistent. You are persistent. You bring the hot button topics. Not only that, you throughout the nation going to fight for our civil rights, our constitutional rights, our human rights, just our right to live. So we thank you. We appreciate you, Pastor Eddie. He's the chief executive officer of the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association. We appreciate what you do, Eddie. We have so many people that's doing so much work, but with your work, it's so important and vital to us that we may be able to walk as a citizen of the United States, as a free person of the United States, to walk safely with confidence that we will be safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. So we'd like to thank you, Pastor Eddie, for all of your endeavors. You know, I see your post on social media. You're always eating good. I'd be glad when that second plate, social media, you know, this technology, you can slide a plate right on through. Because you eat healthy. You eat healthy, and you are a leader and inspiration to all of us, you know, to just do the right thing. Now, who is that laughing there? Is that Linda Goldie?
That's Pastor Jones laughing for sure.
Oh, my God. Pastor Jones. Man, and you know, Pastor Jones, you don't need a cape doing this. What do you have to say about that, Professor Reams?
No, he doesn't need a cape. He is on fire. He is the baddest mother shut your mouth that I have ever dealt with in my life. Plus the fact that I am so proud of. If you had a chance to go to Long Beach, I'm surprised that Joe Biden wasn't giving you his fried chicken that he owed you from Doolin's. Overall.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You guys are
Yeah. Doolin's was missing their fry cook, so he finally came back for a visit. You know, he left for whatever reason. I don't know, become president or something little like that. But we need him back in the kitchen.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are something else. I love you guys, man. You guys are great. And Talana in the studio, too?
We haven't heard from her yet. Talana, are you in the studio?
Well, that's okay. One of the people that is supposed to be on this morning is Ira Tillman. And Ira Tillman has wrote a book. Have we had a chance to get him on yet?
We haven't heard from Ira Tillman yet. We have one of our callers that haven't heard from Mr. Bianchi has called
in. Yeah, my mic mute.
Wait.
You are surprised. Mr. Bianchi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, we have a subject matter here that we created a topic. Are you satisfied with the politician? We'd like to hear from you.
No, I'm not. I'm satisfied with my state politician, but not that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. No, no way.
And then can you explain why? We'd like to hear your input because everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a reason why or why not they like somebody and why not. Me, personally, before you give that answer, I think it's just too much hate in this nation. There's too much hate in this world, but we didn't say hate. We said satisfied. Now tell me why you're not.
Well, I'm not satisfied with his economics for one thing. You know, as soon as he gets in, he canceled all pipeline contracts, which, by the way, went to court, and one judge up in Pennsylvania said he didn't have the right to do that. So you call the oil prices to go up. You also put a lot of people out of work, especially professionals in the engineering field. He removed the tariff off of Canadian lumber, which was undermining lumber companies in Georgia. He removed the tariffs off of Russia steel, plate steel, which was now coming into the country unfettered, and American-based steel companies and having a difficult time to compete. He totally loused up and caused the lives of 13 American soldiers over in Afghanistan.
Well, let me ask you a question about those 13 lives, Mr. Bianchi, not to interrupt you, but would you have continued to keep soldiers for over 20 years, which this would be the case if we were not to pull them out? You would have left them
there. They was training Afghans to defend their own country. Let me ask you a question. How long does it take to make a colonel in the military, a lieutenant colonel? It takes about 20 years.
A lieutenant colonel takes about maybe eight to 10 years.
It takes about 20 years. It takes about 20 years to make a colonel in the army. So it's going to take that long in order to train them where they can defend their own country. Now, the thing is that you got an arrangement that's going on in that country where even the Taliban, his members, was members of Afghanistan military. Another point, those two 10-year terms, you had first 10-year agreement coming off of 9/11, 10-year and a day according to Islamic law, where the Taliban was supposed to take a hiatus from fighting this enemy. The enemy wasn't the United States totally. It was also that Christian president that they had elected.
Well, another thing we have to look at, that's a whole different culture over there. Their belief system, their religion, their way of life is totally different from here in America. So when you look at the United States military occupying another nation, whether they're welcomed or not, we have to look at that. They were training them for all of the years that they were there. And so when you have a people who are not willing to stand up and defend their own nation, we have to look at when the soldiers pulled out, many of those generals, those soldiers, they took those uniforms off and went back home. None of them stood up to fire a shot of resistance. You see no collaboration.
Not even the politicians stood up.
Everybody disappeared to save their life, just from the Taliban, but from ISIS, from Al Qaeda, and all the other small insurgents that in that country. That country is not organized.
That is a country that's been at war for hundreds of years.
I know, but what you just said is not true.
Let me show you where you're wrong at. All during the time they were fighting the Taliban and when they were fighting ISIS, they stood up. They abandoned at the end, not the beginning, not the middle, but at the end. They was getting money. They was getting equipment. They was getting supplies. They didn't abandon at the beginning. So why come they didn't abandon at the beginning? Also, it was the president of the country that asked the United States to come in.
They didn't abandon at the beginning because you had the backing of the United States Army. You had England. You had France. You had a unilateral of nations that was occupying that country, fighting for democracy,
You know how they got in? You know what brought them into the country of Afghanistan? The first thing was the going after those terrorists that was behind not only 9/11 but also causing. Well, sir, you asked me a question. Why you keep cutting me off?
Well, you have answered the question, and then you.
I haven't answered the question.
Now, the question in the beginning was, "Are you satisfied with our politics?"
I gave you. I told you no, and I was giving you the reasons why. You asked me the reasons why, and every time I get ready to tell you, you keep cutting me off.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Now, as I said before, it was the president of Afghanistan and their parliament that asked the United States to come in and assist them and where they can protect themselves. If the president don't have control over his army, then I don't know what to tell you. That's exactly what you had. They had two 10-year plus one-day agreements based on Islamic law with the Taliban. The first one ran out in 2011. They negotiated another 10-year plus one day according to Islamic law. And Trump had brought both of them to the table, and they agreed that they was going to leave in May. Joe Biden was president in May, and he just ran past that date.
Well,
that's why
CNN,
he had the problem.
Trump made a deal with the Taliban.
He made a deal to leave out in May, which would have been a good deal because during May, that's their winter season, and those fighters go back home during the winter season. The roads are impassable during the winter season. That would have been an ideal time. Now,
okay. We want to thank you for your reply. I want to hear from
you. I got
Professor
one more question
Green.
For
Professor
you,
Green.
If you don't mind, sir. I got one more question.
Hold on. We're going to go to Professor Reams. Hold on.
All right.
We're going to go to Professor Reams and get his input on this. Professor Reams, can you chime in on this?
Well, Ms. Miyake is right on the timeline and all. The issue that was brought in was just the timing that was done for Joe Biden to get everything out. But then there seemed to have been something that caused for a further delay, which stay a little longer because there was also some things that were going on then. So it's going to be very interesting in how this plays out because there's still questions asked on what was executed, but also the details of the deal that was created by President Trump that made it so important that May would be the date, especially when Mr. Bianchi mentioned that it would be the easiest way to get everybody out. So this is going to be an issue which is going to be further investigated on just what was done. And so we're not done with seeing what all the details were with Afghanistan. Now, the thing that is now is that the Taliban is the sovereign government. So the United States now, as a result of whatever, because both presidents are so, will have to work out agreements along with the other countries on how they're going to proceed forward with their behavior. And or if even, you know, you have a right to do just like any other sovereign nation. So that is the current take on everything. So that's why we saw a reduction of Joe Biden's numbers. And it will be interesting to see moving forward what the explanation is when they go through further investigations on what went wrong. So, Brother Clarence, I yield back to you.
And if I could add to what you just said, Professor, if you don't mind, the Taliban the Taliban members that's there now, they never were elected by the people of that country. So I don't think that the Western power or any other government should recognize them until there's a fair and duly held election where those members are elected. Taliban never was a nation. It's just a group of people.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, what has happened has happened. So, great points.
We have a couple of other co-hosts who are, I believe, is in queue. Delana Jones, are you in the queue? Good morning, Delana Jones. Lynn Goldie, are you in the queue?
Linda Goldie is trying to call into the show right now, and I'm going to Captain V control the board and let the other people on that are on hold. She says she doesn't see Talana right now, and I want to thank you, Mr. Bianchi, for coming on the show. It's the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. But one of the most important things about our show is we like to be kind and courteous and listen to one's opinion and also hear one's opinion. But at the same time, we don't have to be rude or disrespectful because I want everybody to have an opinion, and that's what you're entitled to, especially on our show. And everybody on our show is nice and kind and courteous, and we want to receive that in return. So we thank you for the information. We thank you for the knowledge that you have shared with us. And we appreciate your phone call onto our show. But we always want to keep the two words important that are important, kind and courteous and still make your point. And we can agree to disagree and disagree to agree and still have a fabulous, phenomenal, fantastic, tremendous, amazing show. Without further ado, I yield right now back to Clarence M. Allen and Professor Reams and the rest of our hosts on the show. Have a wonderful, phenomenal, fantastic, tremendous day.
Thank you, Pastor Yeti. Thank you for that message, which is much needed. Let's see. Do we have Vera Jones? Are you in studio?
No, Vera's not on either. We were having some sort of technical difficulties. We're trying to get some people into the studio and see if you can send a text to Cousin V, and hopefully she can regulate the situation. Okay, regulator?
Amen. Cousin V, are you in the studio? I think she's controlling the board from her computer. So I'd like to thank you for that, Cousin V. You know, I want to get back to California with our politician, because most of our co-hosts here are in California. We just had an election last Tuesday to recall Governor Gavin Newsom. And Larry Elder was one of the big opponents for the recall. He came out with his message, with his guns. And you know, I was looking at the other politicians. We even had one that came up on our show a couple of weeks ago and been on here a couple of weeks. Pastor Eddie, I'm looking at my notes here. I think her name was, let's see,
Sarah Stevens ran for governor.
Stevens, yeah.
Sarah Stevens was running for governor, yeah.
Was running for governor, and we'd like to thank her for coming on the show, because, you know, it's very important to get different mindsets, different opinions, different lifestyles, and that's how we learn. And we like to thank Mr. Bianchi for his knowledge and wisdom. You know, I like to thank him personally for his input, because it's very important that we know the truth, we know the history, and we get the message out so we all can come to a conclusion and a unified understanding, whether we appreciate how a country, a person, a nation operates or not. And so we'd like to thank everybody once again. I'd like to reiterate that, what Pastor Eddie said. And so we had Larry Elder was one of the front runners for governor here in California. He came out of South Central L.A. Believe he was in media, and so, you know, in correspondence with that, Gavin Newsom had his own big guns. He had Barack Obama to televise his message. He brought Joe Biden in California, Kamala Harris, California, and many other politicians. So this was a big issue for the California. Would it stay Republican? Would it stay Democrat? Or change to Republican? So we see that by at least 60% that he was not recalled, which he had to have a little bit over 50%. And so I'm going to go back to Professor Reams and get some information, get his input with this recall that we just had. Are you satisfied with our politicians? Professor Reams.
Well, what had happened was that in California history or so, there was always the issue of what would happen with the governor if he should do some bad behaviors. And so, like in any state, there is the opportunity, just like the federal government, for impeachment. Well, in California, in the ballot measure, also later on, decided to also include the recall process as well. It required that, you know, about 10-12% of the population, something to that effect, would be able to get signatures and then be able to have a recall based on things that weren't liked or that they didn't agree with the governor. And the one question that does come up is that then if there was a recall, why didn't it go directly to the lieutenant governor? And the answer is, well, because then it wouldn't change because it would result in crony capitalism, which is why they didn't put the recall. They didn't say once the recall, then it would go directly to the lieutenant governor. So you wanted a new person in there that would take the state into a different direction. And so this is what happened. The last time it was recalled was when we moved from Gray Davis to Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, in this situation overall, there was a sizable majority that felt that Gray Davis had not performed as he should have as a governor. They had Cruz Bustamante on there as well, which actually split the vote. Now, this is important when I get to what happened with this recall. And in the end, Arnold Schwarzenegger was made governor, and then Gray Davis was out. Now, we move forward from 2003-2004 to the present. Same situation happened. In light of the situation going on, it was seen that back in 2019, after the election, that there was efforts to try and start a recall process. It had been defeated, you know, a couple times. Then COVID hit, and came the restrictions, and then came, of course, the problem where he showed up with a mask at a fundraising after he had created the rules. But this was as a result of the federal government having the states have authority to address the COVID crisis in their own manner. So it took a coalition that was like New York on one end and California on the other end, where they came up with ways based on science on how to address COVID. Now, this unfortunately led to businesses, small businesses, running into problems, and with Sarah Stevens brought up the fact that there was issues where folks could not make ends meet, businesses had to close, and the economy was being affected, along with other policies that were going on. Now, of course, there were issues where Gavin Newsom was standing up to some of the federal government policies under Trump, and so that also marked him as well, along with Mario Cuomo. So there was the issue that there needed to be some change, you know, and then, of course, as the campaign identified it, it is as a Republican recall as opposed to just a general recall. And based on some of the facts, it was coming from the RNC and also related to those that are supportive of Trump. However, there are also dissatisfactions with Democrats as well, because they lost their businesses or so. So it was a wonderful coalition. But what finally happened was, when this happened in the recall process, there was no limit on how many candidates could be on the ballot. So it totaled over 40, probably 46 candidates, both Republican, Independent, and or Democratic, but then it was the majority of Republicans that were there that made up the bulk of it. And it still focused on the issues pertaining to COVID and how it was handled. Also, the relief effort that was done, because then the unemployment wasn't coming out as quickly as possible. And then, of course, we had the wildfires, which were going on, and then there was also things that were happening where environmental promises, like for wells being built, had not been done. And then there was also a misjudgment on whether the actual work that's being done overall. So when we get to the final recall, they had sufficient numbers. You only had to have 1.5 million signatures, and then they cleared it over by 2 million. And then it went through, and then the Secretary of State reviewed it, confirmed it, and then placed it on the ballot for September. Normally this would happen in November, but considering how the things where they wanted to get over as quickly as possible. But in the process of doing this, it cost over $240 million. Of which it's taxpayers' money just to have this thing go on. So now we get to the time of the actual campaign. Up until this point, by around August, it seemed like it was going, the yes was going to pass because people were just disenfranchised with what had happened in the prior to. Prior to this time, it was at 64-65% where it wasn't going to pass. Now it gets very close, and within that time, that's when it was signaled to the Democratic Party that they had to take this seriously, because the ramifications would mean that the Senate would flip back into the control of Mitch McConnell, and that this would also be a beacon call that if that California went red, and it also meant that the flipping back to McConnell was due to the fact that the governor has the authority to appoint, should something happen to a senator, such as Dianne Feinstein, a senator to replace the term of the senator that is taken ill. In that case, per the election activity, many of the candidates talked about what they would do as far as reform, and of course, as the regulator mentioned, well done, that the front runner was Larry Elder, and what he did talk about was repealing a lot of the governor's executive orders on how to deal with COVID, also dealing with the mandatory aspects of masks and overall. And that he would appoint a Republican to the Senate. Now, when that happened, that instead of having so many different candidates, it now allowed there to be a coalescing of one vilified candidate that the Democrats could latch onto, and that the others were also the same as well. So if you notice, when the campaign started ramping up, it started in mid-August, where you show an increase of 3%, then it went up to 5%, then it went up to 10%, and then also 15-16%. And it was because as things get closer, as you know, with California, people aren't going to take anything seriously during the summer or summer months. But as it got 2 to 3 weeks before, the Newsom campaign understood that there had to be constant communication. So there was a lot of texting. As I mentioned in the last one, I was on the texting team. I was also phone calls and doing postcards, and it had to be just a steady stream of information because few folks still didn't understand that this was actually going to get recalled and that they had to post their ballots. So it also, what made it easy were the drop boxes as well as mail-in, as well as talking with people and explaining to them, and those that were unsure what was going on, explaining how the process was. So by the time we got to the last week of it, or last 2 weeks, it was imperative that the assembly pulled everything together and had meetings and had their town halls and got the word out. It then had the state senators that were processing this along with the and even the federal representatives from your Ted Lieu's to your Eric Swalwell's and all these others coming in. And then finally the crescendo of all the activity was having Kamala Harris coming on a week ago on Wednesday. And then finally with Joe Biden coming to L.A. and then Long Beach. And so that was the effort that energized to get it over, not 60, but 67% as a review of the process. Now, let me tell you, as a result of this and how the recall process was written, there's going to be reforms to it because the fact that it has been brought under fire many times, even with my colleagues before, with the Arnold Schwarzenegger situation, is that whether this was constitutional or not, in the fact that you had a small group, a minority, trying to choose and go against the will. Now, this is what the overall flavor is with what the legal scholars are saying and what's going on across with different recall efforts. And it's also interesting that recall is being used as a tool in local elections as well. So this is an interesting situation for both sides to consider, the use of the recall in one way or another. But overall, this is where we are, and, it's just an interesting testimony and or on what happens in this state as a result of folks getting together, mobilizing, doing grassroots, and then having an end result where you have this result where the governor is retained. So with that in mind, Brother Clarence, the regulator, I yield back to you.
Thank you, Professor Raines. Thank you very much. We have a couple of co-hosts in studio. We have a 323-571. Are you in studio? Three two three five seven one. Vera, is that you, Vera Jones? We also have Linda Goldie from up in Oregon. Linda Goldie, are you in the studio?
I hope so. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Linda Goldie.
Linda,
welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning. I was so tired this morning. I was six, went back to bed, called in at 9, and I accidentally called the pastor's number instead of the show. So I'm finally on. Anyway,
well,
as far as my opinion
on... Well, you called the direct line.
What?
You called the pastor direct line. That's the way to do it.
Well, I didn't intend to do it that way, but anyway... as far as all this political stuff, it's really beyond me. Politics is like math to me. It's something I really avoid whenever possible. And so I'm not up with everything that's going on. And when I hear you talk about everything that's going on, it's just overwhelming. So I can't really add much in that respect.
Yes, I don't think anyone can be totally satisfied with any politician because we all have our different, goals, agendas, our different likes, dislikes, and accomplishments in life. So, one man's steak can be another man's pork chop or his bacon. So, and maybe even it's another man's porridge. If I can put that in there. So it's difficult to do something to please everybody because everybody has different want, needs, and desires. So when we look at this democratic government, this open agenda that we have where we are allowed to cast a ballot to change a law, to nominate a person for some seat within our local, county, state, and even national government. It's everybody doesn't look at life, wants and needs are the same, but I believe we all do everything the same each and every day. We live, we eat. Many of us work. We have to take care of our surroundings where we live. Education is so important to all of us, but some has more value in education than others. Some just get that sixth grade level, and as long as they can reason and speak for themselves and get whatever they want, they're satisfied. But then we have those who have a higher educational status where they have that knowledge to create, to control, to run things, and even to build and make things move and happen in our economies and our societies and our governments and even with people. So, when we look at these politicians, it's just a lot. And then we have some who are for the people. We have some who are just for themselves, just for the power. So it's so much to get into there, Linda, that sometimes it could become mind-boggling to some people. Some people understands it with ease and can adjust to that situation and even to that agenda. And so Vera Jones, do we have any other co-hosts in the studio at this time? Once again, you're on the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. You can go to your internet on your laptop and go to blogtalkradio.com and hit the search button. Go to Eddie Justin Jones Jr. _ production. You can have your friends to call in at 646-787-8064, where every Monday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. we talk about your rights, my rights, our constitutional rights, just even our civil rights, our right just to live, because everybody has rights, and we want to thank Pastor Eddie for creating this platform. I'd like to go into a second subject, and just this past week, over this weekend, we see that the Pfizer has created a dosage amount for children under 12 from 11 to 5 to take this vaccine shot. And so are vaccines safe for children under 12, and should they be vaccinated? And you know, we just looking at the adults before we even talk about the children, we see that there are differences. Well, I'm not going to take the vaccine, and we have those. Well, I need this vaccine because if I get infected with this variant or even just a step COVID-19, I don't want to die. I want my organs to shut down. I don't want to be affected like somebody who hasn't had the vaccine. And so with schools are open now, we see the rise in children becoming infected with the variant and even the COVID-19. Close to 500 children has died because of this coronavirus, and it's serious. We see the surge in our schools with this coronavirus. And so they're looking at where the CDC to okay and make it safe for children under 12 to become vaccinated. And I was hearing on the news looking at like a third of the dosage, if I'm not mistaken, would be safe for children 5 to 11, and then the second dosage 3 weeks later, whereas an adult, you get your second dosage 2 weeks later. You know, this is a great question, you know, because this coronavirus, the variants, the mutations of this disease, it's changing. It's like it's picking up steam, you know. It's like a car, you know, starting at a green light, and you have to get on the freeway, and you're gradually getting up to speed. This thing is picking up speed. 90% of the people who are hospitalized haven't taken this shot, and now we're seeing children becoming infected and even dying because of this coronavirus and its variants. So I'm going to go to Professor Reams first and let him give us his input. Professor Reams, please chime in.
Once again, this is one of the health issues which, you know, it is very emotional for all, because the fact that you do have parents who have decided that whether they use the vaccine or they use social distancing or they wear a mask, it's one of the things where the family is making definitely that decision. But the end result is that you cannot control what's going on in the schools. As I mentioned with my college students, we had to do a lot of distancing. We had to put masks on, but then finally, at many of them, it found it didn't work because there's just too many people that you're coming across, and with too many types of variants of their health or whether they're carrying it or not, and also the same issues that come up with how you might be asymptomatic could be happening with the children as well, where they could just be carriers and then spreading on. And unfortunately, there, after a year or so of being isolation, of being in quarantine, you have also the problem where it's almost like a coin toss. If you quarantine everyone, then you run into the risk of whether the students are going to be learning as quickly as they should, because in isolation it becomes a little bit more difficult. And that's why some do well in homeschools, others do well with being interacting with other students. Then if you take off the quarantine, which is how we were able to, at least it saved my son's life and all of his kids, because of the fact that he would be susceptible. He's always susceptible to flus and anything else, and he probably would have caught it at some point, knowing him. But because of that, you now are faced with a very hard decision on when you send your child to school, what will be the environment that they go into? And you don't want to do Russian roulette and say that, okay, well, we're going to do this, but then my 50-50 chance of my daughter or son is going to die because of the fact that we sent them to school. Or they bring it home to the house, and then everyone else gets infected again. And also, there have been incidents where whole families have just been wiped out. So this is where we all, the communities, have to come together to find out what is the best approach, because as we've talked about in our program, certain bodies just may not work well with a vaccine. And there may be immune deficiencies, there may be some other chronic illnesses that the vaccine won't work or shouldn't be taken. And so that's one consideration. The other consideration is just knowing the body of your child overall and how it reacts to a vaccine overall. Because if they're getting the flu shots and they're having problems, then it's not going to get any better with the coronavirus shots, since it's still one of the families of the flu family with the SARS and everything to that effect. So it's a wait and see to see if the infections can be curbed, and if not, then it's either the vaccine or social distancing and masking and doing whatever it takes, a multifaceted approach to minimizing the infections. And unfortunately, this is where we are. I mean, some folks are even talked about some of these other cures or whatever, the pseudo cures, which haven't been proven, and some might have worked. But whatever the course is, we have to get a hold on how to minimize the infection. I mean, even for those who are taking all the vitamins, the echinaceas, and all these other things in general, that may be working. It's just that when you have a large population like this, it gets to be very difficult to identify what will work as a whole collectively to bring down a pandemic. And so, Brother Clarence, this is a very tough issue. I mean, if it works to minimize it, do whatever it takes, including with the vaccine, even though we all know some of the side effects that the vaccine can have. But it is where we are currently, so it's more of a wait and see on what can be done. So I yield back to you, Brother Clarence.
Thank you, Professor Ring. Thank you very much. We have a caller in the 323-571. Is that you, Vera Jones? Good morning. Vera Jones, are you in the studio with us this morning? Good morning. Yes, we do apologize that some of our co-hosts and maybe even our callers, We haven't heard from Ira Tillman yet. Are you in the studio, Ira Tillman? Our guest this morning, a book writer. He's written a book. We'd love to hear from him. He's written a book about a football player, I believe, played for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I don't know if he's in studio. We have any other co-hosts in studio this morning? I do apologize that I'm not able to control the board. Cousin V is doing her best from her end. So we'd like to thank you, Cousin V, for all of your work, your efforts. We'd like to thank you for your love and your dedication. We'd like to thank all of our co-hosts aboard this morning, Eddie Justice Jones' Monday Morning Blog Talk Radio Show. You know, everybody has an expertise We don't just want to hear from them. We need to hear from them because the knowledge, the information is vital, is helpful, and it allows us to get through our days as we go along each and every day more smoother, more better, more comfortably. Because, you know, when it comes to mental health, it's huge. When it comes to our finances, it's huge. When it comes to words of wisdom, it's huge. When it comes to our poetry, it's huge. When it, I don't know if I mentioned Vera, but our health and wellness is very important. Our commentary is huge. Our host with the topics and his direction, taking the wheel and the helm of this show every Monday morning, is huge. So, you know, I'd like to just thank all of you. I love all of you. I love all our call-in guests. I love all of our listeners. We all love you. That's from all of us here on the Eddie Justice Jones Monday Morning Block Show. We thank each and every one of you who listen to us each and every week and those who find the time here and there to call in. So, you know, this is a huge, important topic. Children under the age of 12, you know, it's just terrible that we have this pandemic and something or someone or some institution has put a deadly disease in our society and worldwide. You know, we have people who practice eugenics, population control, and this is one way to keep the population where it is because, you know, it means the people upon this planet has never been more crowded in history of time. You know, there have been pandemics throughout the history of this planet, and many of the people have died. The population bounced back, you know, not just with people, but even with science and technology and engineering with construction. So, you know, if you believe in God and you believe that the Almighty Creator, He has allowed this planet to evolve, to grow, to live. He allowed this planet to love. And that is the balancing act with the hate and war. You know, it's the love for humanity. Just life, period, because, you know, I learn more from animals than I do from people as far as being a good person. You know, it's not the animal, it's the person. Once you learn about that animal and their characteristics, you can understand them and appreciate in nature and the nature of life. You know, there's a African proverb, and it says, long time ago, what about
the
is that somebody in the
city? That's my favorite poem.
Is that you telling me? Is that you, Cousin V?
I believe we have Talana on the line. Talana is on the line in the studio. And I believe Vera's in the
Talana,
studio, too.
Talana, is that you? Good morning, Talana.
Good morning. Can everybody hear me?
But I can't pull everybody up.
Yes, we can hear you now. You guys go right here.
You can hear me?
Talana, is that you? Good morning, Talana.
That's good morning, Talana.
Clarence.
Yes, we can hear you now.
You can hear me. Who else is that in the background?
I'm here also. Oh, good morning, Cousin V.
Good morning, Cousin V.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cousin V.
Hey, Cousin V.
Yes.
Hey, Cousin V, we had two topics, and if we can get you to chime in, are you satisfied with politicians and you being in the medical industry, are vaccines safe for children under 12, and should they be vaccinated? Can you chime in on that, Cousin B?
Well, the policy, we can only do so much. So, to me, that's not the first time we've lost 13 soldiers, but I've known in the past we've lost many more soldiers than that, even going back to Pearl Harbor. So everybody, I don't know why they're so upset. I think right now it's because of the change of the presidents is why most people are so upset. Nobody's satisfied with Biden, but I think he's doing as best as he can. And I was driving because I drive from city to city, and I noticed for the first time today that the gas prices are dropping. So we just have to continue to pray for our president as well as everyone in politics. Then on the children's vaccine, I know my coworkers, it's three of them so far. Their kids have been testing positive anywhere from the fourth grade up. I haven't heard any younger than that. And I do know that my grandson, a lot of time he goes around people because he has all our kids, of course, have another side of the family with grandparents and things like that. And some of the persons on their side have tested positive. But him being 2 years old, so far he hasn't been COVID positive yet, being 2 years old, and he's been tested by the hospital. So that's my take on the vaccine with the children. I know that at least elementary enough should have some kind of coverage.
Thank you, Cousin B. Jelana Jones, we've been talking about two topics. And one of them, are you satisfied with politicians? And then, are vaccines safe for children under 12? And should they be vaccinated? We'd love to hear from you, Solana.
Okay. I disagree 1,000,000%, because children already come into the world with already a very strong boosted immune system. And it's already with natural antibodies, so they can fight off their own viruses or sickness or illness or whatever the case may be. So you injecting a virus that is unfamiliar to their body is probably going to mutate their DNA. So I don't think that's good, especially through a growing process. They're still going through stages of adolescence and phases where they have to grow. So I don't think that's a good idea.
My thing is, we have had at least or close to, if not over, 500 children die from this coronavirus. And with the schools opening, more children are being infected, more children are being hospitalized and dying from this coronavirus. What would you say to that, Solana?
I have been saying this for a very long time, Clarence, but I really do agree that it's been a downsizing process. And even though the government will never say it, that's exactly what the virus is doing. It's killing people.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. You know, I like to give our word of the week that I created. I apologize, Pastor Ed. I didn't see a note for the word of the week and scripture of the week, so I have created that. And the word of the week is power. The word of the week is power. We all have power. And it starts with having power over ourselves. And if you've been put in charge of anything, if you're responsible for anything, you have the power to manage that, to conduct that, to control that, and hopefully that we use our power in a rightful way. There are some people who take advantage of their position and their position of power, you know, with greed, corruption, selfishness, even violence. You know, there's all sorts of ways that power is used. It's used for good, and it's also used for evil. So I just pray that the little power that we all have is the little people on this huge, amazing planet. Let's use our power for the goodness of life. Let's use our power according to what the word say, the word of God. And let's use our power with love. So the word of the week is power. The scripture of the week, Genesis. Coming out of the book of Genesis, the first chapter, verse 4. And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God delighted the light from the darkness. That's Genesis 1 and 4. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. You know, that light, and God saw it was good. You know, light is a spectrum. God, light is a spectrum from every color in existence, the ones we see, the ones we cannot see, the ones we imagine, and the ones that we can't imagine. And if God sees that light is good, who are we to see it otherwise? Who are we to see a person, and we use shades of color with certain races of people, ethnic groups, and so on, and then we'll go against what God saw. He saw that every spectrum in that light was good. It was useful for something good. So when we see that light, regardless of the color. Now, I look at crimson blood, you know, they the crimson love blue and hate red, and the blood hate red, love blue. You know, the system and society has created that small thing and big with things in this nation. The color of flags of countries are different colors because they like this color and that color. It may not like that color and this color. So let's, you know, it doesn't matter what color it is. God saw that light, and he saw that it was good. It's right there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
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 Amen. I think we'll move on over into our regular segment and get all of our co-hosts to come in and give us their expertise on this segment. And I like to start with Linda Goldie because God has given Linda a talent. And could everyone please mute their phone? I hear some gargling or some noise in the background. So could everybody make sure that they're on mute? What everybody says is important is vital. And some of it is more than necessary to hear. Linda, are you in studio?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You have something you'd like to share with us this morning.
Well, I do have a poem. I wrote this in November of 2012, and it's called Change the World. You want to change the world, you say. I do not doubt you'll try it. But if you only change yourself, that's progress till you die. But do not let the world change you, because the world's a taker. Learn to lean on God instead, because he is your maker. You want to change the world, I know, but do you think you can? You must believe it's possible, but don't believe in man, for people often disappoint, and they may bring you down, but others will encourage you, so choose who you're around. You want to change the world, you say? But if you did, what then? Would the change be better than the way it was back when? Or would there be new problems with the changes that were made? Worse than problems you know now to wonder if it paid. You want to change the world at last. At least that is a noble fight. But if you fail or you prevail because you did it right, there's more to it than you might think, because some generation which follows you could just undo your work for imitation. You want to change the world, you know, to make it somehow better. And if you do, I'm glad for you to be God's good go-getter. But when it ends, I hope your friends still stick with you a few. Whatever changes you might make won't change my love for you.
Well said. Good job. Great, great poem. I got my hug.
Linda Goldie, the poetry is healing to our soul. It's so good. And we have another co-host who is in studio this morning. And, you know, my pockets are awfully dumb. So my pockets need to be educated. My finances need to be educated. And do we have Melanie Aubrey in the studio, 323-388 area code? Good morning, Melanie Aubrey. Are you in the studio? Cousin Z, can you see if she's muted and unmute Melanie? I believe she's in studio with us this morning.
Are you able to hear me now?
Oh, good morning, Melanie.
All right. I thought I was unmuting myself, but I'm probably muted myself back. After clapping for that wonderful, beautiful poem, thank you, Miss Goldie. I loved it, as always.
Yes. Melanie, I have two questions for you. And then after you implied to these questions, could you go right in and educate us with financial literacy? The first question is, are you satisfied with politicians? And the second, are vaccines safe for children under 12? And should they be vaccinated?
Oh, my goodness. Am I satisfied with politicians? That was the first loaded question?
Yes, I don't want to be satisfied with politicians.
Oh,
it's just an open.
Boom.
Okay. Well, you know.
Open generic question.
I understand. And, you know, it's a great question. I don't want to offend anyone because, you know, people go into public service to serve. And we believe with their heart they do their best within the law to make those changes and to, like the poem said, you know, to make a difference in the world. And that's noble. But what happens is we know that people are human, and we know that the love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself. But because there's so many people that, you know, take advantage and use their power, as the regulator was saying, in those kinds of positions, and we've seen it over and over, time and time again, it makes us question. And, you know, it does just put a stain on the fact that the people who are supposed to serve us sometimes take advantage of us or are not doing what, in fact, their position is, you know, in that area, in the area of politics. The other question is about the vaccines for children, and that one really strikes a chord with me. I'm very upset about the fact that they want to even consider that. But, you know, if you keep watching the news, which I try to watch less and less and less of, you get that playback. You know, they keep putting that, you know, it's in order to save the children. And I realize a lot of children are now, you know, being hospitalized, and that wasn't the case before. And from the doctors, you know, articles I was hearing about, the children were to be less susceptible than the majority of the population. And so to even think that they needed vaccination was a far reach. But things keep shifting and changing, and so the whole scenario and the whole, you know, what we keep hearing is that's a necessary, you know, it's necessary for them to. But you know, knowing what we know about this technology that's put into that vaccine that has yet to be shown to be completely safe for humans, I don't feel, you know, I think our normal immune system should really be what we focus on, not, you know, the vaccine per se, but we've just never focused on all of the ways that we can really help our bodies and help our children, you know, with being strong in their immunity. So I hope that answers the question. I'm very long-winded, as you know, so I'll go right into what I wanted to share this morning. And, you know, with financial literacy, it's such a huge umbrella. And I also, you know, I don't want to offend anyone about, you know, even something I said last week about everyone having insurance. You know, I know that there's a great number of you and that have life insurance already, and I commend you for that. You know, I share because I care, and I know I did not have life insurance even when I was close to 40. And, you know, I had a group plan with the employer I was with, and, you know, I didn't miss that money because it was an inexpensive policy and you could max it out, and we always encourage people to max those out. But what I didn't know was that if I left that company or if that company let me go, something changed, I could not take that insurance with me. And so, therefore, I was older, I could have health issues, and I may not qualify for a policy at that time. So we always just say what wealthy people do is they have, you know, they put their children on the policy from the time they're born, and then when they become 25, those kids can get somewhere up into two or three times the policy amount and pay very little and don't have, you know, any medical, you know, they don't have to take any medical exams or anything. So it's just the smoothest way, the most advantageous way is to get insurance as young as possible. So, you know, imagine, you know, and this happened for me where I had a death claim of a friend's friend. And, you know, or if it was for someone close to you, imagine instead of just bringing a car to that person, bringing a check for $100,000 or $300,000 for them to take care of their family for the rest of their lives, you know. So I just encourage people. It's so important. And even now, the last thing I'm going to share is just quickly is, you know, long-term care is something that is becoming such a huge need for all of our families. You know, there's so many people who either are or know someone who are raising children, but yet their parents are elderly and they're helping to take care of them. And so we don't know about long-term care, and I won't say we don't know, but I won't say most people aren't aware of getting a policy for long-term care. And it just so happens that Washington, the state of Washington, has now made it a required state tax. You know, they're going to start taxing people out of their payroll checks for long-term care because they know that the government cannot support it. And so all the states are going to start following suit and causing, you know, and that's going to be something that people will have to have out of their paycheck. Now, the only way you can avoid that is to get your own long-term care policy, and they will allow you to opt out of that payroll situation. So I just wanted to share that information today. And if anyone has any questions, of course, feel free to give me a call, and I will be glad to, you know, talk to you more about it. Or you can talk to me about getting your complimentary book of How Money Works, Stop Being a Sucker. I'll be glad to send that out to you. So thank you so much for letting me share, and have a blessed day, everybody. Blessed week.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Woo-hoo.
You know, I have read that book, How Money Works. I'm Stop Being a Sucker. I'm going to read it again. It's vital, very important information. The rule of 72 and a lot of great information is in that book. So if you don't have that book, I encourage you to get that and read it. It's several books I have read. This book is very important for our own financial, you know, survival. So, Melanie, can you share your contact information again in case someone may have missed it last week or before?
Absolutely. And if you did request a book, it should be there today if you haven't gotten it yet. I'm just saying that. They know who they are who ordered it. So my information is area code 323-388-7158. That's my phone number. You know, people can email, but it's, you know, better to just call me directly. Again, 323-388-7158. My email is maubry, A-U-B-R-Y, 1124@gmail.com. So thank you. Thank you, Clarence, for that. Yes, I read it over and over and over because it's just a lot of concepts. But, you know, it's about an hour read, and it's written like a comic book. And so the characters really take you through the book, and it's engaging and fun to kind of read. So it's not your financial book that you want to read before you go to bed to help you fall asleep. We didn't do that. It's a bestseller, and it will be a bestseller this year. So get your copy. Get your copy. You can get it on Amazon, but you can also get it complimentary through me. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Melanie Aubrey. Let's give Melanie Aubrey a hand.
Hello. Well, hello, everybody.
Hello, Patrick.
This is Pastor Jones. This is Pastor Jones. Just want to say everybody's doing a phenomenal, fantastic, wonderful job. I love you all so very much, and God bless you. I want to send a special shout-out to everyone on the show and to anyone who has lost a loved one. I send my love to you. I send my condolences and my sympathies and grievances to anyone who has lost a loved one, period. We love you on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, and everybody on the show is a bag of gold chips that can't be crushed. I love y'all, and see, we have a call in the 323-338. Can we see if they want to say something? They're live on the show. Go right ahead. Take it over.
Yeah, that was Melanie Aubrey Pacchietti. She did a segment just now. She elaborated on the two topics, and she brought us to some financial.
And I believe we have Dr. Aretha Adams Jones on there too.
Dr. Aretha, are you in studio? Good morning, Dr. Aretha.
She is on the line, but we got to get her. We got to get her in.
We'll see if we can get to work on.
I am here.
Oh, there she is.
I'm here. Yeah, sorry about that. My phone is messing up this morning. I am here in the studio.
Good morning,
Dr. Aretha.
Good
morning.
Morning,
Dr. Aretha.
Good
morning.
Good morning, Dr. Aretha.
Good morning.
Dr. Aretha, can I ask you two questions and then you go into your segment?
Sure.
Yes, I'd like to ask you two questions. Are you satisfied with our politicians and our vaccine safe for children under 12, and should they be vaccinated?
Okay. So, oh, my God. You know what? I have to tell you all, I always try to see the good in people. I try, and I believe that a few bad apples should not spoil the whole bunch. I feel that, you know, in every profession, you have people that are, you know, just self-serving and, you know, thinking about themselves, and they're not, you know, maybe they're not doing what they should be doing. But I always think when I was a little kid, I love that song. I think it's by Johnny Osmond, like the Osmond brothers. One bad apple, don't spoil the whole bunch. Everybody knew.
Yep.
Everybody mute your phone.
Go ahead, Doc.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, I always think about that song, one bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch. So I just think that there are some good politicians that really care and they love the people. They have a heart for the people and they really want to help people. And there, I think there's just, in my opinion, I think there are a few that kind of just mess it up for, they give them a bad name. But I think that's the minority. I think the majority of them are good, decent, you know, individuals that really care about the citizens that they serve. And with regards to the vaccine, wow, you know, I have to say that I know that they said that, early on that the children were not contracting the virus like the adults and their immune systems were different. And oh my gosh, I hope no one gets mad at me for saying this. I think that if the vaccine is effective for the adults, the children just may feel, they'll be okay with if they're vaccinated. I think they'll be okay. I think the FDA is doing a good job in, checking this out, and their research is, up to par. You know, they're good, and the research is, I think, pretty good. And I'm just one, I try to believe in the positive and everything. And maybe that's not a good thing, but I think that vaccinating the children, I don't think it will be a bad thing. And I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know what? We have to pray. We have to pray. We have to pray for our politicians. We have to pray for our doctors. We have to pray for those that are working on this vaccine, because it's not easy. It's hard, and we're in a difficult situation now. You know, there's a controversy over whether it's effective and who should be vaccinated and why people are not being vaccinated. And people have their reasons for doing what they do. I just think that we need to pray and continue to look to the Lord, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to go into my segment. Let's continue to pray.
Dr. Rachel, you're just a kind heart.
Well, Dr. Arena.
Yes.
Woohoo. Woohoo.
Thank you, Dr. Arena.
I know it's tough. It's tough for everyone. You know, it's just we're in a difficult situation. This world is in turmoil, and we have to continue to pray and look to the Lord for answers. Because we're divided, but I don't put people down. Like I say on my line, that people have their reasons for being vaccinated, and people have reasons for not being vaccinated. And I don't judge people, but with regards to the children, I think if they can find something that's working for the adults, I think that they'll be able to help our children out as well. But we have to just continue to pray. And so this today I'm coming to you. I did the first part of the 10 self-esteem tips. This is a wonderful article that I read in Psychology Today. I love Psychology Today. And I gave the first 5 tips last Monday. And here are the next 5 tips. right? There are 10 in total. So this one says, and, you know, with regards to boosting your self-esteem, don't compare yourself to other people. We always, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to do that. And it's not a horrible thing to do that. But what happens is that sometimes people get stuck. They get stuck and they start comparing themselves. And, you know, it's a great way to set goals. It's a great way to build your motivation. But what happens, we begin to feel horrible if we fall short. Sometimes we fall short and we, you know, we feel horrible. The second self-esteem tip for today is get a dose of mood-boosting endorphins, right? Get a dose of mood-boosting endorphins. And what happens is when you, you could build your endorphins by exercising because it builds your heart rate and it helps to release stress. It helps to release stress, and we all get stressed out sometimes. So it's really good for that. The third tip is to make time for self-care. Make time for self-care. Sometimes we get so busy, we get caught up in our busy, we get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of life, and we forget to take care of ourselves. We forget to pamper ourselves. We forget about self-care. And when we take care of ourselves, it boosts our self-esteem. The fourth tip, dress to impress, right? Studies show that when you feel your worth, you should look your best, right? That was cool. In that article, it said, when you feel your worth, you should look your best, and that helps you. And then the last tip is to nurture your strengths. You know, we all have things that we like to do, things that we are good at, and doing things that we are good at is beneficial for our self-esteem. Thank you so much, and remember that mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you.
Dr. Rita.
Thank you, Dr. Rita. Bless you.
Now, I'm not too knowledgeable, so, you know, I'm always need to get a little wisdom here. So I'm going to call on our specialist, Talana Jones, and have her to give us a segment from her words of wisdom. Talana Jones.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome again to Words of Wisdom. Today, I'm going to share more affirmations. I pray you enjoy. Today's affirmation comes from Jesus Christ cards, and it reads, God loves you unconditionally, but that doesn't mean waste your time every day. It doesn't mean to bring other people down. It doesn't mean to feel superior to every other human being. Instead, it means that you needed saving, and God was willing to save you. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you.
Can you read that one more time, please, Talana?
Absolutely, Terrence. One second. God says, love you unconditionally, but that doesn't mean hurt people every day. It doesn't mean bring people down. It does not mean feel superior to every other human being. Instead, it means that you needed saving and God was willing to save you. Amen.
Amen. Short and sweet.
Amen.
You know, Eddie, to my co-panelists, listeners, what I really love about this show is our segments, because each and every specialist of this segment makes up a part of our life anatomy. You know, we have mental health, financial, words of wisdom. We have our poetry of life. We have our health and wellness. And all of these entities make up our being. And with our commentary following up everything, is, you know, it's like a dog out the yard, off the chain, running wild. You can take this information and you can just run wild with it in life. But keep it all regulated, you know. Keep it under control. Make sure you maintain all this information. Don't let it get out of order. Keep it structured. And with that, I'm going to Vera Jones. Vera Jones with Health and Wellness. Jones, are you there?
Vera, are you there?
I texted her and I didn't hear back from her at her number.
Okay.
Well, let's go to Cousin V, Pastor Eddie. You know, amazing
yeah,
week in sports.
Yeah, let's go to Cousin V with the sports report.
Yeah.
Let's find out what happened with the Jaguars and the Kansas City Chiefs. Without further ado, Cousin V, please take the floor. Give us the sports report.
Don't you want to find out about the Chargers?
Oh, yeah, my Chargers, our Chargers. Let's talk. Oh, no. The Rams
all
are
right.
Rams.
Okay, well, first of all, I just want us to, it'll be like a second silent prayer just to think about these people. Michael Thomas, and then comedian Anthony A.J. Johnson, and then also a Houston police officer. I'm here in Houston, so a Houston police officer was shot and killed this morning. So we just want to say a prayer for all these families, the fans, and everyone and their friends. And that it's always hard to hear people dying. There's so much dying right now, and then working right in the vicinity of people dying is just so much. And that's why sometimes I just have to take a mental health break. Thanks to Dr. Aretha. She can understand where I'm coming from. But anyway, we want to get to the sports. We'll start with the high school football. All of our teams lost this week. Dieball lost to Livingston 38-7. And most of these were like shutout games. I mean, really bad scores. And next they will play Trinity. San Pedro beat Dorsey 41-6. But Dorsey is 2-2 on the season. And Dieball is 1-3 on the season. Also, the Lufkin Panthers lost to Magnolia. And they are 1-3 on the season. They lost 27-21. Next, they will play Porter. And then Nacogdoches lost to what used to be the John Tyler Lions, which is one of the baddest talent teams in Texas. They lost 40-12. And also next week, Dorsey will play Jefferson. This is our NCAA Week 3 of 14. If the teams cannot play for the NCAA, it will be a loss instead of a forfeit as it has been in the past. So we have Northern Illinois lost to Michigan 63-10. Miami Hurricanes lost to Michigan State 38-17. Oklahoma Sooners beat Nebraska 23-16. Coastal beat Buffalo 28-25. Cincinnati beat Indiana 38-24. Texas A&M shut out New Mexico 34-0. Notre Dame beat Purdue 27-13. Kansas State beat Nevada 38-17. Iowa beat Kent State 30-7. Alabama and Florida Gators, the game of the week, they only beat them by 2 points. 31-29, Alabama over Florida. And Alabama is ranked number one. Georgia Tech lost to Clemson, 14-8. Tulsa lost to Ohio State, 41-20. And Georgia Bulldogs beat South Carolina, 40-13. Arkansas Razorbacks beat Georgia Southern, 45-10. Penn State beat Auburn, 28-20. Oregon beat Stony Brook, 48-7. And then Mississippi beat Tulane, 61-21. University of North Carolina beat Virginia, 59-39. BYU beat Arizona State, 27-17. UNLV lost to Iowa State, 48-3. And Fresno State beat UCLA, 42-37. This is their week 3 of 14. Also, we have Arizona Christian Firestorm. They defeated the Louisiana College, right, Clarence? 35-22.
Yeah,
their next game will be. Yep, their next game will be Clarence's son, Dion. He's number 8, and he plays for the Firestorm. And they will play Southwestern Assembly of God University next week. And then just a short point on the Major League Baseball. The Houston Astros' Jose Altuve made history yesterday versus the Arizona Diamondbacks. This was their first contest with Arizona and Texas. He got most hits, 850 at Minute Maid Park to pass Lance Berkman as the sole leader with 850 hits. And then to our NFL, man, we had a lot of injuries this week. Tyrod Taylor be out with the Houston Texans, but still no Deshaun Watson. Tua for Miami, his x-ray for his ribs came out negative, so maybe he'll be back on the field. And then we also had Andy Dalton out with the knee and Carson Wentz out with the ankle. And the NFL admits that they potentially cost the Cowboys a win in week one over Brady and Tampa Bay. So ESPN says after week one, are the Cowboys and the Raiders contenders? And then could Brady have the best season? And my opinion on that was, yes, yeah, they stopped cheating after hearing that last news. And then also the Las Vegas Raiders are 2-0 on the season. I always have to do that for Clarence because even though we all have our different teams, but those Raiders are a tough team. They always have been in the past, and it's good to just see them come back up to the top. So our scores for the NFL, because I'm at work, so I have all my tablets out. I'm at work and working in the Willis, but thank God I only have one pager, so I'm able to do this today. Washington on last Thursday beat the New York Giants 30-29. The Chicago Bears beat the Bengals yesterday 20-17. The Browns beat the Texans 31-21. The Rams beat the Colts, Eddie, 27-24, and all you Rams fans.
Yeah,
and my Miami Dolphins got shut out 35-0. The New England Patriots beat the Jets 25-6. The 49ers, two of my other favorite teams, the 49ers beat out the Eagles 17-11. The Raiders beat the Steelers, how about that, 26-17. And then the Panthers beat the Saints, which is not I love the Saints, but I like Carolina also because Cam came from there, even though he's still not on anybody's radar, but hopefully we'll see him in sports, maybe on TV. But the Panthers beat the Saints 26-7. The Jaguars lost to the Broncos 23-13. The Cardinals beat the Vikings 34-31. The Buccaneers beat the Falcons 48-25. And that's where Tom Brady is now, and I'm not really happy about that. I used to love the Tampa Bay, but I'm not watching them as long as Brady is their quarterback. And then the Dallas Cowboys beat the Chargers by 3 points, 20-17. And then the Seahawks in final overtime lost to the Titans 33-30. And then the Ravens also last night came out over the Chiefs 36-35 over the Chiefs. This is my sports report. Y'all have a blessed week.
Cousin V.
Yeah. Cousin V.
Thank you, Cousin V.
Really quick, everybody, I just want to send a quick shout-out to my Uncle Jeff today's birthday, and shout-out to my cousin Kike. Happy birthday, you guys. I love you. And also my cousin in Chicago, Michael. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Do we have Vera Jones? Is Vera Jones, are you back? Just in case, I'm going to go into one of my readings. I'm going to make it short. Is that you, Vera?
I apologize for interrupting. One more birthday shout. Happy birthday to my cousin Tawana, too. It's next week. Also, thank you.
Amen. Vera Jones, are you in the studio?
I don't think Vera's in the studio, but she's been trying to get through. But go right ahead because we're counting down and we only have about 7 or 8 minutes left. So please, go right ahead. We got it.
Thank you, Pat.
Take the floor. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I see you, Vera. Are you able to speak? Are you in queue? Are you muted?
No, she's not muted.
Oh, okay. I see she's saying she in studio. Well,
she's
I'm going to get a little
studio.
Bit.
Yeah, she's been in studio, but I don't know why we can't hear her.
Oh, okay. Well, it's that time of year, you know, we're counting down this month of September, moving into the month of October. It's that time for the Heinz Soul Brother to get ready to come out of the ground. I believe the souls are starting to vibrate within the earth. And so right now we're going to talk about monsters, monsters of violent crimes or a crime of violence or crimes where an offender uses or threatens to use violent force upon his victim or victims. These kind of crimes are crimes in which violence is the objective, such as murder, as well as a violent act that has been cast upon a victim. Violent crimes include crimes committed with weapons. Throughout history, monsters of violence and crimes had their ways upon its victims from all over, from all walks of life. Today, the widespread and vast arrays of violence seem to continue to escalate and go along with the increase of the human population. As the world itself continues to expand within its own new ways of violence, it also intensifies as the level increases. The monsters of violent crimes have also increased the levels of violence with mutations, mayhem, live burnings upon their victim of prey. Every day you might hear someone new who may have become a casualty from some very horrific violent crime. Violence has produced these huge monsters that are now alive in our society as we know it today. And I'm going to stop there. And we're going to go to Professor Reams and let him close with this commentary before this show cuts off. Professor Reams.
Yeah. Thank you so much, the regulator. And also I want to commend you for doing an excellent job and also providing your wisdom. So always include yourself as also the balance that provides wonderful, wonderful insight on what's going on today, especially with your prophetic work dealing with Regulate the Manual. So everyone, very quickly, thank you to Pastor Jones for a wonderful format. Thank you to all the co-hosts from the regulator, to Cousin V, Vera, nice shout out to Talana. You nailed it every week. Melanie, thank you from one of your Kingdom citizens for keeping us abreast on insurance. Dr. Aretha, the 5 points, just like the 5 brothers of the Osmond family, well said. And then with Linda Goldie, I got my hug. And to also our guest, Mr. Pianki, thank you for a wonderful insight on Afghanistan and your position on politicians. So the word of the day is power. Now, let's remember that when we're dealing with politicians, remember we as citizens are giving our power to politicians to represent us. And so many times we're hoping that they have our best interest involved. But many times, as we've mentioned, just like what was talking about in our scripture, there is also a good or light and dark side to the work of politicians. So as I mentioned before, it is best to stay woke, but it's also best to take back your power, because being in a democracy is not a sit-down sport. Everyone has to be in the game. So in working with the politicians, I always say that each politician is doing the best that they can with the circumstances they have, and no circumstances are different. But it's also up to us to call them on the carpet and also be active enough to make sure we nudge them in the right direction. So we just can't be content that we voted in the governor and he's going to take care of everything. We are not only the citizenry, but we are also the government that has provided the power to our representatives to represent our interest. And when we advocate being involved, then it means that we're, and as Pastor mentioned, we're not standing for something and we're accepting anything, as opposed to standing for something and then moving forth with our stand of what we feel with the topic or subject. We also went to the idea of the vaccine in kids, and that is very controversial. And of course, there's a no and there's a yes, and there is also the issue that's going, which is very controversial, on whether it should be done or shouldn't be done. The major thing is that we should, again, talk with each other and make sure we keep everything in prayer so that each community makes the best decision for the kids overall. And that when we talk about the vaccine, great. When we talk about being quarantined, great. Whatever it takes to stop the infection from moving forward, we need to do it. But it needs to be done because we have the power to make it so. So when we get to the ideas of what's going on in the politicians overall and the ideas that are there, there is the issue of what happened September 18th, because there were protests for those who felt out of power and wanted to support those that have been arrested because of the January 6th insurrection. Okay, that's one point. But we also showed our power in the recall in California to show that we were not going to just take any situation or take any other person other than the governor that we actually elected with our power. So as we've talked about before, we have the light, we have the dark, both function together, both provide the balance that we need, but we have to stay in power to make sure to keep the balance going, and that means we have to stay active, we have to stay woke, we have to stay prayed, and we also have to do, as Dr. Aretha mentioned, to not compare, to exercise, to also have self-care, to dress and impress, and to nurture ourselves, and also to remember that when we needed saving, God was there to save us, as Talana mentioned. But then we also have to remember that we lean on God because he is our maker. And when we do that, and when we have the activity, but when we use our power wisely, then we can move forward in the light and in the dark together in the name of God, as he's asked us to do. And with that, to Pastor Jones and Brother Clarence, that's the commentary.
Wow, that's amazing.
Oh, gee, that's
so
Thank you.
Wow.
What a show. Yeah, been in tuned into the Eddie Jesse Jones Blog Talk Radio Show from every Monday morning, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Tell your friends to call in and tune in to Pastor Eddie Jesse Jones Blog Talk Show. This is where it's going on. This is what's going on because this show is written and you are in here. Woo!
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing,
stand in your way.
I want you to listen,
to every word I say, every word I say.
Going, they don't know,
but we won't let.